laid in that bed every day and night for months. And it was kind of hard. And one thing that I told myself over and over was, don't break, old man. Don't you break. Because people are looking to you to be strong. They're looking, somebody else out there is going through something, and they're looking to your example not to break. And I'd be damned. I'd be damned, Joe. I'd be damned if I break.
We are here for Spartan Up Podcast. We are your grit and resiliency partner. We come at you each week, and we teach you how to be better. We basically help you level up, give you life's lessons from those experts around the world. This week's really interesting. This week, we've got a friend of mine, C.T. Fletcher, all right, six-time world champion powerlifter, just an animal, the original iron addict. I like to say we're all addicted to something. This guy is addicted to iron. He loves to lift weights. He's been doing it his whole life, and he's just a super motivating guy. But here's the catch. Here's the reason you need to stay on and listen to this. This guy died. He died a bunch of times. We all get to listen to people that live. Why don't we listen to a guy who's died and find out why we should cherish every moment? So stay tuned. Watch this episode. I promise you, it will change your life.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months' relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. I have C.T. Fletcher. I got to look down at my phone to read this because this guy is unbelievable. 61-year-old, which I don't believe, 61-year-old, six-time world champion, coined the phrase iron addict. I guess we're all addicted to something. This guy's addicted to iron. After having open heart surgery and being told he could never lift weights again, he kept lifting weights.
Yeah, pretty stubborn that kind of way.
You just don't. Yeah.
No, that's why I thought, the Spartan mentality and the iron addict mentality mesh so well together. It's all about not quitting, not giving up.
You know, CT, a couple of guys and gals in our office said if CT was around 2,500 years ago with Leonidas, they probably would have beat the Persians.
Well, I think they give me too much credit. I just watched that movie again for like the umpteenth time last night. And man, it's one of my favorites for sure.
You face some tough obstacles in life, but you don't seem to break.
I think it's because I don't deserve the credit for it. You know, it's not me. I think I did what anybody else would do in the same situation, and that's live. You know, I just kept my faith and gave it all up into God's hands. You know, I think anybody else would have done the same thing. So I don't think I'm anything special. Only claim to fame I got is not dying, man. And who wouldn't have done that?
No, but CT, I mean, a lot of people, they blame the past, they blame their parents, they blame the weather, they blame all kinds of stuff. And you and I have gotten to know each other, and you don't really blame anything. You take accountability, right? We spoke about your dad. Maybe fill people in on your childhood.
Okay, my dad was super religious. Everything was a sin type of preacher. It was holiness or hell, as my dad would put it. Either you live this way or you're bound for fire and brimstone, man. So everything was by the book, and he was a very strict disciplinarian. And by that, I mean he would beat the fuck out of you.
It didn't stop you. It sounds like it fueled your fire.
He told me he got up one Sunday in church and he told everybody that the problem that he had with me And the reason why he hated me, and that's a direct quotation, was hate. He said, "I hate that kid right there because he's too much like me." And so we had a pretty antagonistic relationship. And they asked him, I did a movie called My Magnificent Obsession, and they asked my dad, could he recall any good memories of my childhood? And I was looking at him hard, Joe, because I wondered if he had any good memories, because I didn't have any. So I was wondering if he had any, and he couldn't think of one either. So we were pretty even on that.
You think, you turned out great. I can't even say you turned out good. You turned out great. And I think you'd agree with that. I mean, you've been successful, right? You crushed life. You motivate millions of people. So I wonder it now, because I'm a dad, like you're a dad. Maybe a tough childhood's not a bad thing.
Well, I tell you what, Joe, I had a lot of grief with it for a long time. I used to wake up in the middle of the night, you know, fighting and punching and kicking and screaming, and, you know, until I was into my 50s. But then, you know, the heart problems and heart transplant, and it gives a different outlook. And, you know, when you have to go through something tough, it kind of helps to have a little toughness in your background. It kind of helps you deal with tough times. So I got to kind of thank the old man a little bit for not making it so easy on me.
So there could have been a little more hugging, but you wouldn't trade the tough stuff for anything.
No, I think it really made C.T. Fletcher who he is. You know, having to go through that, if it wouldn't have been for that, you know, I might not have been able to survive as well as I have. So my hat's off to my dad.
It just took a while. You know,
yeah, it took a while.
My son, who's like me, who we butt heads, me and Charlie, he said to my wife, "Why'd you have to marry him? I'm in the wrong family."
Wow.
He has it easy. He didn't have it like you. He has it easy. heart disease was in your family. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I watched my mom suffer with her heart disease, and she also had a lung disease. And I watched her suffer, you know, for most of my childhood, you know, from the age of about 6 on. My mom was sick until she passed away at 63. She passed away at 63. In and out of the emergency room, in and out of hospitals. You know, we always have to go visit my mom. And but one thing about it, Joe, whenever you ask Mrs. Fletcher how she was doing, she would always give you the same answer, with the same answer I give everybody: I'm blessed. She would always say, "I'm blessed." So I drew from my mom's strength, and I try to pattern my life after that woman.
You know, I tell people, I forgot you had told me that in the past. I tell people I'm alive is usually my answer, but I'm going to switch it to I'm blessed, because if I'm alive, I'm blessed.
That's right. Exactly.
Every moment we're on this side of the dirt is a good moment.
It's a blessing. That's for sure, Joe. That is for sure.
You had it figured out before you and I did.
Yeah. Really. She was really, really the strongest person I've ever known.
You were you worried about her heart disease kind of taking over your life, like the genetics of it, like, or did it just catch you off guard when you had this heart trouble?
I was not worried about it. I was thinking, I never expected to live to be an old age anyway. You know, not too long. I expected, you know, be gone by about 45 tops, because I lived always on the fringe, always on the end. Always wanted to do everything to the extreme. I guess I was an extremist by nature. I wanted to push it as far as I could possibly push it. If somebody else told me, I didn't want anybody to outdo me. Whatever I chose to do, I'm going to take it to the oomph level. It's like I would tell people, my crazy will your crazy up. So, you know, I never expected to make it that long. So I didn't think about dying.
You just accepted that it was going to happen.
Yeah, but I was pretty much indestructible.
Take us through that. Take us through those moments when you got that punch in the face, basically, that punch in the chest.
That's exactly what it was. You know, that's a good description, Joe. I thought I was indestructible. I even told my mom at a very young age, you know, that I was the baddest man alive. And she told me, she said, son, I don't care how bad you think you are. There's always somebody else out there just a little bit badder. And me with my little smart ass, I told her, I'll tell you what, Mom, but you got at the end of the line, there's a whole bunch of bad people standing in line. But at the end of that line, somebody has got to be the baddest. And I think that's me, Mom. And I probably was 10 years old when I told her that. I thought that I, you know, was indestructible, couldn't break C.T. Fletcher. There's no way. I'm the baddest, I'm the toughest, I'm the fastest. Oh, and I laugh at it now, Joe, because, man, was I proven wrong. I was proven so wrong.
But C.T., maybe, again, always looking through the set of glasses I have and you have as a dad, maybe that attitude, that cockiness was a good thing.
I don't know, Joe. I've been broken down so low and shown, you know, how vulnerable and flimsy and weak I am that, you know, I'm like, man, how could I have ever thought that to have to be, you know, start from less than zero and just have everything that you work for and all this strength and bravado and how mean and tough and have all of that just wiped out in an instant. I mean, all those years of talking shit, all those years of claiming to be out walking on water, all those years of which one of you motherfuckers is coming in second, and just in an instant have it wiped away, Joe. It's just, it's humbling. It is a very humbling thing.
Well, you all of a sudden were mortal.
Yes, very much so. Even more so than I thought possible.
and so walk us through that moment. I think you were in a living room. Were you scared?
I was very sad. I was very sad because, like I said, when I was younger, I thought that, you know, I was going to die. But I didn't. I had made it. You know, I had made it to, you know, older than I thought I would. And I was just preparing. I was preparing to live. I said, hey, wait, I didn't die. So, you know, I'm here for a while. My son is young, but, you know, I want to see his children. There's a whole lot of shit I still wanted to do, Joe. And all of a sudden, all those plans you make and all those things you still want to do are just ripped away. And you think in this instant, damn, I'm not going to get to do any of that shit. I'm not going to get to tell my kids, my grandkids, and none of my love that I love them. I don't have time to do shit. Everything is over right now. And that's kind of a, you know, a scary thing. Death itself, not so much. But damn, I'm through living, man. I ain't gonna get a chance to do no more living. Especially when you want to do some more living, and all of a sudden it's over. Every plan is canceled. Every event and for the rest of your day is over. All of a sudden it's over. It's a shocking thing. It's a shock.
And who found, I forget, who found you when
Samson was sitting, my son Samson was sitting right next to me when it happened. And, you know, I was like, man, this is definitely it. Those old black and white TV sets. I don't know if you're old enough to remember those, Joe, but you used to have a black and white TV sets. And when you pull the cord out of the wall or shut it off, this TV screen would just fade to black. And it was a little gradual process till the little dot got a little smaller and a little smaller until it finally went off. It didn't just go off like they do now. So my screen, my TV screen was fading to black, and it was just, this little hole was getting smaller and smaller. And you just knew that I wasn't, it wasn't like I was going to sleep. This is a permanent sleep. You could feel the permanency of what was happening.
And then what happened? You ended up in the hospital. Like, what happened? You didn't, well, go, the TV didn't shut off completely.
Nope, it did not shut off completely. My son looked me in the eyeballs. You know, I told him I love you, and Daddy, sorry that he won't be able to see, you know, his kids, and won't be able to see him. And he looked me in the eyeballs, and he said, "You're not going to die." And I'm like, "This kid is crazy. you do not know how I'm feeling right now. You can't feel this elephant sitting on my chest. You can't feel the squeeze that's going on to my heart. You can't see my TV screen fade now, but I can." I said, I'm sorry, son, but this time you're wrong. You know, I love you to death. Daddy's not going to be, I won't see you tomorrow morning. And he said, "Nope, you're not dying. You're not dying." And he was so confident, Joe. And shit, I started believing him. I said, "Well, maybe I'm not. You know, maybe I'm not going to die."
And you think that has something to do with it? You think people, I mean, I haven't been in that experience that you're describing, right? A lot of people haven't. But do you think you could actually help end it if you don't have the right attitude? Do you think you...
Oh, shit, Joe. Most definitely. Most definitely. I have been in the hospital when there was a patient that was in a coma. And I've heard the doctors tell the family of that patient that we've done everything that we can do medically. Now it's up to the patient. And I'm like, well, okay, how can you say it's up to the patient when the patient is in a coma? It's not even the will to live. For everybody that's listening, the will to live is so important. People, I mean, you think it's not? The medical profession knows that the will to live is so important that when they've done everything that they can do medically, they depend on the patient's will to live to keep them here. That's how important that is, Joe. So it's, hell yes, it's very important.
Attitude is everything.
Everything.
You owe Samson because he changed at that moment.
I owe him my life. I sure do. He definitely did. Once he convinced me that I wasn't going to die, by the time the paramedics got there and they brought the stretcher into my home, they said, "Okay, now we're going to put you on the stretcher." And I told them, "No, I'll walk out of this son of a bitch." That's how much the powerful, the will to live is so powerful. I mean, I was in, death's door, and he convinced me that I wasn't leaving here that night. So I said, "Hey, no, I don't need a fucking stretcher. I will walk out of here."
That's awesome.
And I did, Joe.
and then was it a downward spiral? You had to get a heart transplant. What happened then?
Yep. So I made it through that. You know, they gave me my nitroglycerin tablets, and I spent that time in the emergency room. I left though. They wanted to keep me, but I didn't want to be in. I hate hospitals. I didn't want to be in the emergency room. So they gave me a bottle of nitroglycerin, and I said, "I'm going home." You're going against doctor's orders, and I said, "Yes." I'm going against doctor's orders. If I'm going to die, I die at home. I took my nitroglycerin, went back home, and shortly after, maybe a month later, I flatlined at home again. And this time, my screen did go completely black. I was dead. For a few minutes, I was dead.
Who found you then?
Beatrice, my wife, was with me at that time. But luckily, in between those two times, I had a pacemaker installed. And it was not only a pacemaker, but it was a defibrillator also. Kicked in, kicked my heart back in the, you know, brought me back. And it's just been a hell of a roller coaster ride, Joe. Before I finally got the transplant, I flatlined again in the hospital. So by this time, through the whole heart process from the beginning, when I had the first open heart surgery, was a total of 5 flatlines. Flatlined 5 times. Been out of here 5 times, Joe. But I'm still here sitting here talking to you. So, yes, sir, I'm blessed. I am blessed.
Because of that, I mean, people don't die once and get to talk about it. You died 5 times and get to talk about it. Does it make you appreciate, like, even a simple podcast like this even more? You appreciate everything?
Hey, Spartans. Sephra Alexandra, Seed Hunters here. We'll get right back to this episode, but just a quick friendly reminder. If you missed last week's episode with Doug Evans, he introduced us to the great wide world of sprouting, which is delicious, nutritious, and super easy. Check the link below, and we have a great coupon for you from True Leaf Market, which gets you 20% off your seed sprouting starter kit and Doug Evans' book. And as you can see here, it's all about seeds. These are beautiful native plants. Anyways, enjoy the rest of the episode, and get sprouting, Spartans!
We'll be right back to this interview, but first a message from today's sponsor, Durolane. You know that knee pain can really slow you down. Sometimes that knee pain is due to osteoarthritis. Learn about osteoarthritis knee pain and how to alleviate it at oaknepainrelief.com. One treatment you'll find there is Durolane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months of relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. It's indicated for the treatment of mild to moderate osteoarthritis knee pain when conservative treatments have not worked. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. Full prescribing information is at Durolane.com. Spartans say no to limits. You can learn more at oaknepainrelief.com. That's oaknepainrelief.com. All right, back to the interview.
People don't die once and get to talk about it. You died 5 times and get to talk about it. Does it make you appreciate, like, even a simple podcast like this even more? You appreciate everything?
Joe, I appreciate every second of life. And yes, this podcast, every chance I get to tell people about, you know, how precious and how wonderful breathing in and breathing out is, you know, I think it's something exceptional. People take it for granted. Just waking up in the morning is something to be, you know, so excited about, happy about. Just getting up, man, and being able to talk shit for another day, talking to Joe DeSena for another time, man. I know they get sick of me, but I'm f-ing excited just to be alive, Joe.
If you can get it, everybody to appreciate life a little more, the world would be a better place, right? That, I think we take it for granted. We take time for granted. And that's one of our principles. And you got to have gratitude, right?
Big time. Big time.
What do people get wrong about you?
I think probably the biggest misconception is the people who just see, a short clip, a short YouTube clip, and they say, oh, that's just the loud guy that cusses all the time. Yes, I cuss a lot. I do my share of cussing. But I'm more than just profanity. I've been around for a while. I've seen quite a bit. And I think that's probably the biggest misconception, that all I do is a lot of cussing, a lot of screaming, and a lot of yelling. But it's a little bit more to the old man than just that.
I agree with that, because when I didn't know you, I said, I was intrigued, right? Because I happen to know the science behind the profanity. It actually calms you down. They've done studies on it. So although it might drive some people nuts, there is science there. Not that we want children to be screaming and cursing all the time, but there is. I mean, if you're getting after it and trying to break world records, it probably helped you.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. That's been me. People sometimes think it's just a YouTube thing or something I did to get views, but anybody that, you know, has known me for quite some time, they know that that's just me. That's just part of C.T. Fletcher, and I've been like that, you know, ever since I can remember.
Not a show. It's the real C.T.
Yep, it's the real thing. It's the real thing.
DT, ultimately, after the five flatlines, you got a new heart.
Yes, definitely.
Is that easy?
Oh, man. No, Joe. It was not easy. Jimmy, just the process itself, you know, to get on the waiting list, just to get on the transplant waiting list is a process and an ordeal in itself. And anybody who's had a transplant can tell you that. They want, the requirements are ridiculous. Everything else has to be healthy. I mean, your heart can be bad, but I mean, they want your lungs, liver, kidney, all of that has to be healthy. Only thing to be, if the other things are unhealthy, then it's a very good possibility you won't even make it on the list. And then once you get on the list, you got to find a donor, somebody that's compatible with your heart. A whole lot of people die just waiting on a transplant. So, yeah, I mean, incredibly blessed. Incredibly blessed.
And the heart, while you were waiting for it, were you thinking, I'm probably not going to make it?
What I thought was, and what helped me get through the whole thing, I just took all the worry and stress off myself, and I put everything to, and I, you know, I'm not a religious person, Joe. And I know that sounds real funny to some people because they think that religion and faith are the same thing, and they're totally not. Totally not. Religion is something man-made, and faith comes from God. And I have all kind of faith, so I just put the whole thing, the whole worry, the whole stress in God's hands. I said, hey, it's totally up to you. You do whatever you're going to do. I'm just not going to worry about this. The whole outcome is in your hands. Whatever happens, if I die, I ain't going to know nothing about it anyway. So the whole outcome, everything is up to you. And it's much easier when you can just put it on somebody else. So I just put it on God and let him do whatever he was going to do.
I love that. There's no sense worrying about it, right? We love our mom and grandma and grandpa, but God called you one night and he said, hey, I got a heart for you.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That was, my wife recorded the whole thing. And I have to admit that the old man shed a couple tears because when I thought about it, if I have a choice, I still want to stay around a little while longer.
And whose heart did you get? You got like a probably an Olympian or a firefighter.
I used to say, unfortunately, no, but I think that I'm very fortunate to have received the heart that was meant for me. And it was from a young lady who was almost my age. So, and she, unfortunately, is no longer here. And she gifted me her heart. And I'm going to do my best to live out the rest of her life. Because, see, my life was over with on that 5 May 20th, Cinco de Mayo, I'm sorry. Cinco de Mayo, my life was over. But she let me borrow hers so I can continue living out the rest of her life. And I am not going to waste it, Joe. I will not waste her life. I'm going to let her know that I appreciate it.
I was thinking of you in the story yesterday because I had to get a tooth extracted. And it was painful. And I said, I can't even imagine laying on this same table and they're cutting your chest open and they got a cadaver next to you and they're trying to get a heart. Like, hats off to you, man. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, she was laying next to me. They had already took her heart out and flew it in from somewhere, another state. I don't know which state, but they had, I seen them. My wife filmed the ice chest. They brought the heart in the ice chest. And so it was just me and her heart in the operating room.
How long does that heart, how much time do they have from the time they remove the heart?
Yeah, it has to be pretty quick. So they called me about 3 o'clock in the morning to tell me, that they had found a heart And by, I think around noon, they were, you know, installing a new heart.
I love that word, installing a new heart. Yeah. Hey, how have you changed your life since you got this extra lease on life? You eating differently? You training? What are you doing differently?
Well, I guess a big difference, because I consider myself one of the world's biggest carnivores before the transplant. And I decided, you know, that I want to try to stick around as long as I possibly can. So let me give this no meat, this plant-based diet a try, because they say it's really healthy for transplant patients. So let me give it a try. So that's a complete 360 degrees for me, because I was the king of McDonald's for, you know, most of my adult life. I 4 Big Macs every day for 20 years at lunchtime while I worked at the post office. I was kind of known for that. They would already have my Big Macs, my apple pies and fries on the table when I got inside the McDonald's. That's because that was my routine. And now I eat a whole bunch of Brussels sprouts and shit, Joe.
You and I did this partnership. We created Don't Break. Why'd you do that? What was exciting about that with the Spartan brand and doing what you did with this show? What intrigued you? You know, you could do anything right now, and you probably want to relax a little, enjoy life, enjoy your son. Why do this?
Don't Break. When they approached me about Don't Break, I thought that nothing ever in life has fit my personality, my way of thinking, my mentality better than Don't Break. Because I laid in my hospital bed, Joe,
Take your time.
I laid in that bed every day and night for months. And it was kind of hard. And the one thing that I told myself over and over was, don't break, old man. Don't you break. Because people are looking to you to be strong. They're looking, somebody else out there is going through something, and they're looking to your example not to break. And I'd be damned. I'd be damned, Joe. I'd be damned if I break. So it just kind of fit.
Now that you've said what you said, and you got emotional here, it makes perfect sense. When you and Samson called me that night and said, hey, man, we are just pumped to do this. Now I'm getting chills. I understand the connection.
I mean, yeah.
You must have said it 1,000 times laying in that bed. Don't break.
A million, Joe. Don't break. I had a nurse come in, and this nurse, I don't even know her name. I was so sick, and she prayed for me. She prayed for me right there in the emergency room, and she said, CT, hold on. There's a whole lot of people praying for you. And we want you to make it. And we're out there and we're praying for you. And I tell you what, when that little nurse told me that, man, I felt like getting up and walking out the hospital right then, Joe. That was the most, you talk about motivation That was the most motivating thing I ever heard in my life. And I thought maybe that little nurse was an angel, man, because I hadn't seen her since. And if I seen her today, I wouldn't recognize her. But she said, a lot of people are depending on you, CT. And I'm like, I'll be damned. I'm not going to let them down. I will get the up. Ain't no breaking. I am not breaking. So,
weak as a lamb. Yeah, what's amazing about that is something we could all take home, which is, you said it before, right? Having this attitude, this positive attitude. And when I think back to any great stories throughout history, people that were, you know, up against the wall, once you put them in charge of somebody, they get their shit together. And so that's what happened to you, right? You all of a sudden, that nurse said, CT, they need you.
Yep.
It's no longer about you.
Yep, exactly, Joe. It is no longer about me. And when everybody, you know, I hear people, oh, CT, you did this, you six-time world, and you did this and you did that. I think that I am so low, so worthless, so unworthy of all. It is not about me, Joe. You hit the nail on it. It is not about me at all. I don't even want to hear praises or accolades or none of that. I don't need any of that. It's so much not about me. I am so insignificant that it's just utterly unbelievable, Joe. CT, who? I don't count for anything. I'm not responsible for any of this, man. That lady who gave me her heart, God, and a whole bunch of good doctors and nurses, those are the ones who deserve the praise. I don't deserve shit.
Well, you're still my hero, and you just got me all choked up. I got chills. It's pretty powerful. Thanks for doing this. If you had, CT, if you had, you know, 2-3 sentences for those people out there to just get up and get after it, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that you don't realize how precious life is. Every second, every minute is so precious, and it's so worth living. And that's for somebody who's seen the others. It's worth living. Don't waste it. Don't waste 1 second of it. A millionaire can't buy 1 second of life. And you have it. You have it. So take advantage of it. I'm through preaching, Joe. I know these people are probably tired of me preaching.
You're the man. You're the man. Thanks for doing this. And, you fired me up. I'm going out to my little pig iron gym on the farm here with the kids. Hey. I'm going to kick their ass just because you gave me a new source of energy today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Always a pleasure.
Say hello to the family.
I will. You do the same for me.
All right. See you, buddy. Hey, guys. What do you think? Do you think we picked the right partner to play Mr. Motivation and Don't Break? I mean, this guy is an animal. I've gotten to know him. He really helped me level up my life. I thought I was already at a level 10. No way. This guy took me to level 12, right? He just lives. He just lives to motivate people. How about that idea around sheer will, right? He's laying there. He's fading out. He's dying. His son convinces him he's not dying. And it just goes to show you the power of the mind, right? He stands up, doesn't get on the stretcher, walks out to the ambulance. And I think we could all use a little bit of that. I think it's so easy to get in our own head. You know what I say? When you get in your own head, you're behind enemy lines. You get in your own head, it's so easy to fade out and say, I can't do something. I'm too tired. I'm not motivated. I want to hit the snooze button. But if you could somehow turn things around like CT talks about, oh my God, can you imagine what you get done in a day or a week or a month or a year? It really is mind over matter. The other thing I love this idea of not wasting a precious second, right? We're each gifted. Every day when we wake up, we are gifted with about 80,000 seconds. And most of us waste those seconds. Imagine if you woke up every day and you had $80,000 in the bank. Would you waste them? No way. No way. You'd cherish it. You'd look at it. You wouldn't throw them away. But yet we throw away all these seconds. And, you know, CT says, look, even a millionaire can't buy another second. You can't get any more back. can't get them. When it's over, it's over. And I think he appreciates it more than most, right? Because he was on death's door. And then the whole thing with getting a heart transplant. How many of us complain about, like, I don't know, a toenail, an ingrown toenail or a tooth, right? This guy had to have his chest opened up. Heart shows up next to him. There's no warranty with the heart. Didn't get a chance to look at it. Just put it in there and hope it works. Positive attitude. The guy's getting after it. We can all learn something from him. Listen, I want to hear your comments. I want to hear your shares. If you're not going to get after it, if you're not going to get motivated, if you're not going to go start training, I want you to eat some sprouts. Last week, we did an amazing interview with basically the C.T. Fletcher of sprouting. This guy lives in the Mojave Desert, Doug. He's just an animal. He only eats sprouts. And he talks about the power of that food. Can you imagine, by the way, if you lifted weights like C.T. and you ate sprouts like Doug? You'd probably fly. Anyway, check that out. I want to hear your comments. And by the way, if you have a recommendation of somebody we'd interview, send me an email, joe@spartan.com. But I love you guys, and I will catch you next week. And hopefully this inspired you a bit, because it inspired me. Check out the show Don't Break also. See ya.
Okay, just one more friendly reminder. A lot of things we talk about on this podcast are hard, but some things are easy, like sprouting. So get your Spartan Up Sprout Kit. Look at the link below and put that good, seedy nutrition into your body. Bye.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.